It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Gauging the economic consequences of the unfolding nuclear disaster in Japan.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, while radiation from that troubled Japanese nuclear plant isn't expected to reach the United States, the economic effects are here already. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are down significantly. The Dow is down 232 points, about 2% at 11,761. The NASDAQ also down a bit more than 2%. The S&P 500 the same. Oil prices are falling too, though, around $97 a barrel right now in New York trading. Now let's get to the top story, the unfolding nuclear disaster in Japan. The Japanese government has ordered 140,000 people to stay indoors because of deteriorating conditions at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant. Higher than normal radiation levels are being reported in Tokyo, about 170 miles away from that plant. Though officials say the 39 million people who live in and around Tokyo are safe for the moment. We're going to find out about the effects on U.S. companies in a moment with our regular Tuesday analyst, Julie Neiman. But first, let's bring in our Asia Bureau Chief, Rob Schmitz, who's with us from Hiroshima. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
So, Rob, you just evacuated Tokyo. Describe your experience.
Well, the bullet trains were working today, so I got on one heading southwest toward the cities of Kyoto, Osaka, and Hiroshima. The train was completely full, as was the bullet train station. You know, I saw a lot of foreigners, and I spoke with many of them. Many businesses here are relocating their staff either out of the country or to cities they feel are out of harm's way, like Osaka. I heard today that Norway was pulling all of its journalists out of the country. At the same time, I met local Japanese who told me they were packing it up and staying with extended family in other parts of Japan. But not everyone's leaving. I met one Japanese woman who decided to stay. She said she'd keep her doors shut in case of radiation. You know, she told me her grandmother is stuck just outside of Fukushima, the location of the damaged nuclear power plant, so she didn't feel like she should be leaving.
And Rob, obviously, all of this has big economic consequences. The Japanese government stepped in again today with billions of dollars to prop up the economy there. What's at stake economically in Japan and around the world?
Well, Japan's a big exporter. Plasma TVs, cars, tons of electronic gadgets. So this disaster will interrupt that. And the ramifications will definitely be felt in the U.S. and everywhere else they export to. On top of that, these past 2 days have been terrible for Japan's stock market. It's in a free fall. Japan's stock index dropped by 10% today. The drop it's seen in the past 2 days has been the worst in 40 years. But, you know, with that said, Japan's growth resumed at the end of last year. They still have one of the highest net worths of any economy. So that should help Japan through this disaster.
Marketplace's Asia Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joining us from Hiroshima, Japan. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Now let's get to the domestic picture with Julie Neiman. She's an analyst with Smith Moore & Company, and she's with us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning.
So you just heard Rob's report from Japan. What about here in the U.S.? What are the economic effects of this disaster so far?
Well, it's a four-letter word, risk, and that's the key thing that everybody's running from right now. The market moved past rioting, revolution, and recession, but now there's fear that Japan's situation will pull us all back into recession again. And, of course, leading the market lower is General Electric. Big risk there, everybody feels, because they had six reactors all manufactured by GE, but there is no liability there. But the future of the nuclear industry and the demand for reactors is likely to drop off here after 30 years of attempting to work off Three Mile Island. So a big risk to the nuclear industry.
But Julie, we heard last year after the BP oil spill that was going to be a game changer for the oil industry and deep water drilling, and it doesn't appear that that was the case. So do you really think that the nuclear industry is at risk here?
Well, the big kicker here is there is no substitute for oil. Basically, the rest of the world runs on it. It's in manufacturing. It's in virtually every energy generation. There is a substitute for nuclear, and we've had a 30-year delay, and in all likelihood, we're going to see more delay here. Will it kill the nuclear industry? No, but it's certainly going to delay it again. There is no substitute for oil, and that will continue to have big demand.
Julie Nieman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company, thanks as always for your time.
You bet.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at chevyvolt.com. And by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner testifies before the Senate Banking Committee today in Washington about a tricky problem: what to do about the government's role in the mortgage market. As Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer reports, lawmakers are putting the finishing touches on new compromise legislation to deal with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
A year ago, Republicans were introducing legislation to abolish Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Mark Williams teaches finance at Boston University. He says it was an all-or-nothing approach.
The term was put a bullet in Fannie and Freddie and walk away. But I think there's a greater understanding that you can't just do that.
You can't do that because Fannie and Freddie guarantee or own about half of all U.S. mortgages. So now Republicans are taking a step-by-step approach, gradually raise the fees Fannie and Freddie charge to guarantee loans, move them away from the goal of making housing affordable for everyone. Kenneth Posner is a financial analyst at North American Financial Holdings.
It's almost like the methadone treatment for the heroin addict. And to some extent, the U.S. housing market has been hooked on government support.
Some of the Republican measures dovetail with the Obama administration's proposals for Fannie and Freddie. Posner is hopeful Congress will pass legislation this year before the lessons of the housing crisis are forgotten. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, how would you feel if I said I was giving you $1 million? Maybe not so great. According to a new survey from Fidelity Investments, 42% of American millionaires say they don't feel rich. They say they'd need to have at least $7.5 million for that. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Dictators love their British mansions. The neighbors, though, not so excited.
I think that the British are in love with dictators. They like the lavishness and the outrageous lifestyle of dictators. There is something mesmerizing.
What's that saying? Good fences make good neighbors, right? I'm Kai Rizdal. A despot's home away from home. That story and the numbers from Wall Street next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.